Let's switch gears here a little. Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune soccer expert, has been to more World Cups than Brazil. All right, brother. Listen, here we go. Now, I'll give you a few opinions. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. So yesterday, the city council voted to allow a USL team to come into Cashman. It appears there's 100 teams in this league, so they're probably going to get one. You know, and the people who know soccer know the level of this league, and that's fine. It's below MLS. It's not great soccer. But from afar, and I'm going to take Clay Baker and his son as good examples. Look, if he wants to bring Jackson out and wants to go to a very affordable soccer game, and it's pro soccer, and they don't really care that it's not Brazil against Germany, but it's just a soccer game, and it's affordable, it appears like that could work here, could it not?
On that level, yes. It's all about what level you want to talk about. I mean, you know, I've seen very low-level soccer teams work because they get kids involved, and the kids come out and they do autograph sessions, or the players go out to their practice and do a clinic or something and think, oh my gosh, mama, look, I got an autograph from a pro player on a poster or something. They bring it home and they throw it away and that's the end of it. But you know, they just want to know, what you know, if they're getting cotton candy or not, and they don't care about the score. It'll work on that level, but people need to understand what they're watching. I mean, like you just alluded to, USL has a ton of teams. I mean, they're up to 30 right now. They're talking like 8 or 10 more markets. Most Major League Soccer teams have their reserve team play in this league.
Right.
And Major League Soccer expanded. The problem in the United States is there just aren't enough good players to go around. So Major League Soccer has expanded too fast. So that product has been diluted. Now you're diluting it even further. And I just think there's just too many teams and leagues out there. And you know, and I go watch some of these games, and I'm just like, God, this is awful soccer. I mean, Germany can do it, and England can do it, and Spain and Italy can do it, but there just aren't enough players here. And so until there are, you're going to be watching really crap soccer. And the second problem with this whole thing is I looked at the weather report. At 7 o'clock tonight, it's going to be 104 degrees. This isn't baseball where some guy's standing in the outfield. This is soccer. And the U.S. version of soccer is really high tempo, high intensity, lots of running. You know, in South America, where it's really hot, they've developed a skill set to play much more technical, slower, built from the back soccer to account for this heat. That doesn't happen in the United States, and I just don't think you're going to get very many good players who are going to even want to play in Vegas because of the heat.
You know, Mark, it's like they're trying to just create more interest in soccer in the United States by saturating every market out there. Even though it's bad soccer, I mean, you go across the valley here. I mean, there's people playing soccer all year round. And I don't know if the heat's going to bother people, but, I mean, that's not a competitive level sometimes. But you just see soccer being so prevalent in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and it's like that in most cities. But here's the problem in the United States is there's a difference between soccer players and soccer spectators. And the one problem that soccer in this country, and it's, you know, it's trying to address it, but it has not been able to bridge the gap, is turning participants into spectators. And the way you know that there's a problem is every 4 years you have a World Cup. And usually the World Cups are in other countries, and games come on here in the middle of the day on a weekend. And you'll go to a tournament, and the fields will be packed with parents while the U.S. national team is playing a World Cup game. That's not happening in any other country. They cancel all those games. They cancel those leagues, those youth leagues, during the World Cup because people want to watch the game. Here, they don't even know what's going on sometimes. Or if they do, but I want to go see my kid play. So that's the challenge. You know, the TV ratings for MLS. MLS has done great things in terms of building infrastructure, building stadiums, growing the league, even growing the level of the league a little bit. The biggest problem is they have not moved the TV needle in 20 years. The TV ratings they got their first year actually were higher than what they're getting now. And so they cannot move that needle. They've tried everything, you know, strategic scheduling of games, putting them in better time slots, different types of TV deals, and they can't move that needle. And so that's the challenge in every market at every level, whether it's a TV level or whether it's a level like this, where getting those kids who are playing and those parents to go to a game.
Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune, with us here. It's Ed, Pritch, and Clay talking United Soccer League, the team that apparently will play at Cashman. Let's slip up to the league above it, MLS. I think you agree on a scale of 1 to 10, MLS at its core is probably a 3. It's nowhere near the top Europeans league. I think Asia's moved ahead of it or will move ahead of it soon. $150 million expansion fee in there. A commissioner has said he prefers markets without professional teams only because then he can gather people to go to those games. Well, Vegas is going to get hockey. The Raiders are coming. They would have to build a facility here if they're going to have an MLS team. Why does Vegas, are those enough reasons to where you just think Vegas will never get an MLS team or that it wouldn't work here?
Well, I really think you're going to have to play inside. You know, one of the problems in the United States is that in the rest of the world, the soccer season runs from the very end of August, early September, to April. And the United States is one of the few places in the world where they run spring through the summer into the fall. And so, the bulk of your games in the USL are going to be June, May, June, July, August, September. And as opposed to playing games, and you know, if you were in the rest of the world, you could start the Vegas team on the road in September and then have them play home games in October, November, December, January, February, March. It'd be great out there. And so that is going to be a problem. MLS plays on that same schedule. That's always going to be a problem for MLS unless they get an indoor facility. The $150 million is a huge number. And it's interesting that, you know, there's a lot of interest in expansion teams, but almost there's 12 teams right now bidding for four slots in this current round of expansion. Almost every single one of those expansion bids require public help. And that tells you what kind of investment it is. It was such a great investment, and $150 million was a great deal. They wouldn't be asking to have stadiums built for them or have public subsidies, or what happened in San Diego is they wanted, you know, the most lucrative piece of land in the city basically for a song, and they would put a stadium on it. So those are the kind of the things they're going to have to overcome. I'm still not convinced it's a great, great investment. Now, maybe in 20 or 30 years it will be, and it's certainly a growing league, and it's getting there. And I think one day it might get to one of the top of the world, but right now it's not, and Americans want to see the best. You know, when you're watching USL, it's not like AAA baseball, where you're going to see a guy playing at the highest level of baseball, you know, maybe even later that season, or maybe even the next week. These are guys who are second division U.S. who pray that one day they might be a role player on an MLS team, and that's pretty much the end of the road for them. They're not going to go play in Europe at a top level until U.S. soccer really, really develops better players and just hasn't been able to do that.
Mark Ziegler joining us here on the Midday Show. You can follow him on Twitter at SDUT Ziegler, Z-E-I-G-L-E-R. We were looking at the lease agreement yesterday, Mark, of the for the management company for this USL prospective team. And as you say, the schedule is going to run concurrent in the springtime, well, in the summer months, when Las Vegas 51s baseball are already playing on that same field. A notch on that lease agreement was that the management company had to put down $50,000 deposit for maintenance fees on the grass and turf. Does anyone else in the USL, if you know, do they share a team with a minor league team, and can you actually have two sports concurrently? That doesn't sound like that's a good fit.
Yeah, you know, it that happened more often in the very infancy of MLS and back in the old NASL days in the 80s, where they had to share. You know, we had all these multi-purpose stadiums in the U.S., of football, baseball stadiums, like Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And they would have to share these stadiums, and, you know, sometimes they wouldn't get the mound completely taken off, and, I mean, it was just a big mess. And this is going to be a problem. And, you know, and the thing is that removing a mound is very hard. I'm assuming they're going to run the field across the outfield. But the problem with that is soccer fields don't fit into baseball stadiums very well. And they really need to be 120 yards long, 72, 75 yards wide. And it'll be interesting to me to see how big that field is. For example, Petco Park, when they play soccer games in there, the field is about 103 yards long. So what happens is everyone's compacted in the midfield, and then you see goal kicks or punts, they just go to the other goalie. And everyone's all, like, basically holding hands in the midfield. There's no space to actually play soccer, and it's a junky, crappy game, and very few goals are scored. In fact, the first two times they played soccer at Petco Park, they had no goals in either game. And so that's another issue. And you know, they're probably not coming out and saying how big their field is going to be, but that would be the first question I ask them. And they probably won't tell you. You probably have to go step it off yourself. But that's going to be an issue, to me, even bigger than the mound or the infield dirt. Is the length of the field and the width.
Well, I can't imagine that the parent club, the New York Mets, would like to have their AAA players playing on a field that's going to be compromised and have all kinds of, I think the field's great right now, but you know what? This thing's going to take a lot of beatings in the summer months.
Yeah, and, you know, mounds are, it's funny because I did a story in San Diego when the last time they played soccer here, they yanked the mound out. And the Padres happened, this is a few years ago, because the Padres are actually in a pennant race. And the pitchers were furious. And someone's like, well, how can a pitcher tell if a mound's been moved. And they're so particular about the mound, the consistency of the dirt, the exact height, the slope. They just get very familiar with it, and they can tell a difference. And whether it's a mental thing or an actual physical thing, that's a problem for high-level pitchers. Now, if it's single A or if it's rookie ball, you know what? They're just happy to be there. But when you get up to AAA and maybe you're sending down a guy to get some work for a start or two to go back up to the bigs and the mound's a little bit off, that's not going to be a good thing. So I'd be surprised if they take the mound out. But, you know, everything else is going to be – it's just not going to be what they're used to and the quality that they're used to of grass and dirt. And it's going to put a lot of stress on the groundskeepers. Now, Grand Soccer will probably only be playing there once every other week. But – still, it's an odd in this day and age where there seems to be a lot more stadiums and USL averaged last year I think 3,200 fans a game. So I'm not even sure you need a facility that big as Cashman. And there's a lot of other places you can play with crowds that small. Usually, you don't find them in baseball stadiums because you just find a high school football field and there you go.
Mark, I like what you said earlier, trying to turn participants into spectators, and it's interesting to me where. I want to see United States get better participants. I mean, how do they go about getting better participants, better skill-level players for soccer here in the United States?
Well, it's interesting. It's a great question because it's kind of a chicken and the egg thing. We don't live in a soccer nation. We are a soccer-playing nation. We are not a soccer nation. And by soccer nation, I mean, when a national team is playing, everything shuts down, and it's the passion. It's like the way we follow the NFL. And how that translates to youth players is youth players grow up watching these guys play. You know, most players today, they just go to soccer practice 2 days a week and might play a game on the weekend. They don't watch very much soccer at all. They can't tell you who's winning the premiership. And what happens, we all know from watching, say, basketball. We would see a move that a guy like Michael Jordan or Magic would do, and then we go out on the playground and try to emulate it in a rec league situation. Well, there are no real rec league pickup soccer games in the United States. It's all very regimented soccer. So we have all these robots, and soccer is a very fluid, creative sport. And so we don't have very technical players, and that's kind of the problem, is they're not watching soccer, so they don't become technical players. They don't become very good, so then we don't want to watch the sport because our players aren't very good. And so it's a chicken and the egg situation, and it's almost like they need to make it less structured for it to become better and just have kids playing in the streets and playing in playgrounds. And it just doesn't happen anymore in youth sports, not just in soccer, but in any sport. And that's really killing the creativity of American players. You see a lot of good defenders, but you don't see a lot of forwards and attacking midfielders like you do in other countries. And if you look at MLS, almost all those players are foreign.
Awesome stuff as usual. I know you got to run. Thanks for the few minutes. Take care of yourself, Mark.
All right. Talk to you guys soon.
Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune. That guy knows his stuff on soccer.
Yes, he does.
My gosh. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's going to be interesting. 3-6-4-1-100, you go into these games. Very simple. Do you want to go to these games? And I think, Clay's going to take Jackson. Other kids will take their kids. And, they want to just go out and see a soccer game. And then there will be people who go out and say, I've followed soccer my whole life. These guys aren't very good. I mean, you're going to get but again, it's a league that averages 3,200 people.
Right.
So what are we really talking about?
Yeah, but if you drive around Vegas.
The youth soccer here is incredible. Well, you see kids playing all the time.
The adult leagues, too. I mean, you drive anywhere in the valley. I mean, the lights are on in these big soccer fields and guys are out there playing soccer.
Yeah.
So. I don't know if that's going to translate for the USL and certainly the team over there at Cashman, but they're betting on it. They're hoping that's the case, that there's enough interest here in Las Vegas to support that.
Great question by you, and I loved his answer that we're not a soccer nation, we're a soccer playing nation.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids don't leave Betty Wilson or all these soccer tournaments to go home and turn on and watch soccer. They just play it. And there is a difference, for sure. 364-1100, 364-1100. We'll get to your calls after this. USL is coming to Cashman. Do you care, and will you watch? Darren, you're up first when we come back. Break now.
Touch the sound, Cosmic.
Quick look at traffic here on ESPN Las Vegas, Alta, and Buffalo. We have an injury crash there, as well as Harmon, just east of the Strip. Watch out for the other accidents. They are on the freeways 15 northbound at US 95. Now in the clearing stages from an earlier accident, we have a crash off to the left, the off-ramp Las Vegas Boulevard at 215. We also have an accident on Rampart north of Lake Mead and on Buffalo south of Russell Road.
Adam Hopkins of Realty One Group. I just sold 99. 99-